Peaches concert that will be happening. You'll learn more about that. But the important thing for this morning is that we have a phenomenal guest speaker named Esteban Gass from Character Strong, who's going to kick off our week of activities. So without further ado, let's give him a big candy welcome, Mr. Esteban Gass.
Thank you. Mr. D. Hello. How are you doing? Are you awake? Good morning. No's. I'm hearing no's and no responses. All right, we're going to try to wake you up. I'm really excited to be here. I am a storyteller. I tell stories, mostly like film and TV. Snap if you've ever seen the show Jane the Virgin. I wrote for that, some people, great. And there's a, Snap if you've seen, there's this new movie that came out recently called 5 Feet Apart with Cole Sprouse. Okay, same demographic. So, I think a lot about, that's what I do, yes. So I think a lot about meaningful stories. I think stories are really great because stories are how we like shape the world around us. They help us think about the world. So here's what I want to do today. I'll tell you like 3 or 4 stories. We'll break them down. We have some fun activities. It'll be the best. We're just going to hang out for the next like hour, 45 minutes. So I'm going to tell you this first story. This first story I think about all the time. This story happened in second grade. I grew up in Puerto Rico. Anyone Puerto Rican? Woo! Yay! Amazing. You guys need more Puerto Rican. We're getting there. We're getting there. We're on our way. So I grew up in Puerto Rico, and in second grade, I remember sitting in my living room in my house, and my mom walks in, and she says, I've got some news. And it's never like good, like if a family member's like, I've got news, they're not like, we're getting a puppy. Maybe, that'd be great news. This wasn't good news. This was, my dad lost his job and we were moving from Puerto Rico. So we move, it's like halfway through the school year. School year's already begun. And this is totally true. My first day in mainland America, right? I didn't speak English, I just knew Puerto Rico. My first day in like the US mainland. I get to school and this is true, it's picture day. It's picture day, and I don't know, no one's like, hey, it's picture day. They're like, it's a normal day at school. And I'm like walking around, I'm like, now we're all going to the gym, and people are just taking pictures of us, and everyone's like, this is normal. I'm like, is this just school in America? Just everyone just gets ready to be an influencer? What's happening here? And I remember, I didn't speak English at all, and I'm standing in a line, and then there was a stranger, and this guy's like, what's your name? And I was like, it was like outside Chicago. He's like, what's your name? And I was like, hey, I'm Esteban. He goes, all right, Esteban, let's take your picture. Hey, buddy, tilt your head to the side a little bit. I'm like, okay. He's like, how about a little bit more? I'm like, okay. He goes, how about a little bit more? I'm like, okay. He goes, oh, just a little bit more. Yeah, keep it, yeah. How about a little bit more? Let's just go a little bit more. How about just a little bit more? Let's just do a little bit more. Perfect. I'm like, I didn't know I looked my best with my head parallel to the floor. I'm like, is this a good look? It's literally my first day, and I'm like, is this what we do in America? Like, hey neighbor, how are ya? Looking extra patriotic. Hope your neck hurts. That's how you know you love this country. I'm like going around, I'm like, hi, I'm new. I fit in. So that's the first picture, and then this is true. They go, hey, do you want to take an alternate photo? And I don't know what's going on, so I'm like, sure. And this is can be, this is true, you can find it. This picture is in my living room, in the house I was growing up. Don't know what's going on, don't speak English. They make me hug a fake tree and look back. Like, oh, is there a camera there? I didn't see it, I was too busy being one with nature. And I'm extremely confused, I'm just like, what? What is happening? So this is happening. I'm really confused. And this kid is amazing. This kid named Camilo says something. Camilo's the best. Camilo's Colombian. He's in ESL with me. I didn't know this, but he's in ESL with me. And he's like, hey, no te preocupes, yo te explico todo. Because I was feeling really like alone. I didn't know what was going on. I don't know if you've ever been in like a situation where people spoke different languages and you just like speak the language you know back to them. Like they're like, hey, how are you? What's going on? And I was like, yo no tengo ni idea que está pasando. And they're like, all right, good buddy. Well, glad you're here. And I'm like, what? It's a isolating feeling. So Camilo's amazing. Camilo doesn't have to do anything, right? I'm just a kid who's confused. He says, hey, I'll explain everything in Spanish, and him and I become besties. So I'm in ESL for a while. ESL is like English as a second language. Maybe it's ELL here, English as learned language. People whose English is not their native language. I'm there, and it's great, and I love it. And then one day, my mom comes to school. I want to tell you about my mom. My mom she's like 4'11". She's pretty short, and she's the most terrifying woman I've ever met in my life. She is so scary. She's very, my mom's just like really tough, but she also feels like she's invited to everything. Like she hasn't had a thought, but like, I'm not gonna say that. She's like, this is what I should say. I remember one time we were in Chicago and we're on the subway. It's called the L in Chicago. So we're there and there's a couple who's arguing. It's me and my mom. The couple's arguing and they're pretty loud. It's like, the guy's like, well, why would you think that I wanted tickets to the game? And she's like, I thought you liked it. They're fighting. And I'm like, oh gosh, I don't know about you. I'm like, yeah, just ignore him. My mom, 4'11", walks over and goes, what's going on here? And they're like, what? And she goes, stop fighting. We can all hear you. And the couple's like, okay. They sit there like they're grounded. My mom's just on the other side of the subway looking at them. That's my mom. She's wonderful, I love her, and she's terrifying. So my mom comes to school. She comes to school and she sits with me in the ESL class. She does that and I don't know why, but she doesn't like it. She goes to our principal. She goes to the principal and she goes, I think Esteban needs to be out of ESL. The principal's like, sure, there's a test and there's procedures, absolutely. We'll make sure he's on that track. And my mom has seen a lot of Hollywood movies, just like I've seen a lot of Hollywood movies. She's seen a lot of Hollywood movies, and she goes to the principal and she in this meeting and she goes, you take Esteban out of ESL or I go to the newspapers. I go to the newspapers. We're not even getting a newspaper. Do you know what I mean? She's like, I go to the New York Times. Tom Hanks makes a movie. I'm like, I don't think Tom Hanks can play me, Mom. So she's in his office making this big deal. The principal's like, okay, we're gonna do this. He'll take the test soon. So eventually, a little bit after that, I take this test, I test out of ESL, and it's the second time in one school year where I'm like the new kid. This time I'm in a classroom, everyone else, native English speaker, right, they speak English. I don't speak anyone. Also, don't speak English. Maybe now, I still don't. So I'm sitting there, and I remember thinking, like, no one knows who I am. I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm like, man, I've got a great personality, and these people will never see that. I remember thinking that thought, I also remember thinking that sadness is more than a feeling that I feel and it leaves. I remember thinking, oh, sometimes sadness stays with you. But sometimes sadness is like a friend that stays too long, and you're like, you gotta go, man. And it's like, no, I'm gonna stay. And you're like, no, leave. I remember thinking, I just felt so different. Like, even physically, I remember, like, now I walk, and I'm like, hi. And I remember walking slow. I walked like a Charlie Brown character. Just like, Christmas time is here. Right? But it's silly, but in that moment, that's genuinely what I'm doing physically. So I'm there a few weeks, I'm in this classroom, right? This classroom, same school, but a different classroom, everything changes. I don't know, maybe you feel like that too. Same school, different classroom, and everything feels different. So I'm in this different classroom, no one's talking to me, and it's elementary school, so we're going from like our main classroom to like music, you know, like art, you know how you walk. So I'm walking in the halls, and I'm walking behind this guy, and his name's Kurt. And he's like pretty cool. I think he's cool. His name's Kurt Anderson. And I think he's cool. He like wears like basketball shorts, even though we don't play basketball. You know what I mean? He's a cool guy, I guess. So I'm walking behind Kurt, and Kurt goes, "Hey, man," he turns and speaks to me, "you were in ESL, right?" And here I am, I'm excited, I'm thinking, this is a Camilo situation. It's someone proactively being like, "Hey, you look kind of lonely, let me reach out. Hey, you don't know what's going on in picture day, I'll explain everything. Hey, you're in ESL, let me do some friendship, let me make some friendship happen." So Kurt goes, "You're in ESL, right?" I go, "Yeah, feeling good." He goes, "Oh, man, everyone in ESL sucks." And I'm like, "Oh, this is a real thing that was said to me." And I'm like, there's so many things wrong with that, starting with like, from like, you're just straight up mean, to I'm the new kid, to racism. There's a lot of things wrong with that. So I'm there, I feel like tears welling up, and I'm like, "What? Do not cry. Do not cry." At this moment, I see Camilo. You remember Camilo? Camilo, BFF, Colombian BFF, is like, "Hey!" And he's in ESL, we haven't seen each other. He's like, "Hey, Esteban! ¿Cómo estás? How's the new classroom?" And I'm here, right? And I look at Kurt, who's like, "You don't know him." And I look at Camilo, and I look at Kurt, and I look at Camilo. Camilo's smiling face. Person who was kind to me, and I ignore Camilo, and I keep talking to Kurt. I'm like, "Yeah, dude, what? He's part of you, whatever, man. Yeah, those guys suck. I'm glad I got out of there." And I just walk, feeling horrible about everything. Man, I think about that story a lot, because I think, in that moment, if you asked me, I'd be like, "I believe in kindness. I believe in being a good friend." I think in that moment, if you asked me, I'd be like, "Yeah, I know what's right." And yet I like fall short. And I don't know about you, but for me, I like talk about kindness, I like think about all these things, and I still am afraid that more often than not, I'm like a scared 8-year-old boy who believes in something and doesn't have the skills or doesn't have the courage or doesn't have something to actually make it happen. And that's what I want to talk about today. If this clicks, oh, there we go. What I want to talk about today, do you want to just click, Andrew, when I say click? Is that kindness makes the world and people better. I think if you look in your life of like, who are people you love, right? Your best friends or teachers who've shaped your life or all these different things, they're people where like, they were extraordinarily kind. I think if you look back on like every happy memory, almost certainly there's kindness there. But I think if you click, I think what happens is that kindness is harder than it looks. I don't know about you, but sometimes I look at the world and I think we're not that good at being good to each other. I think there's moments of extraordinary kindness. I also think as a whole, and maybe you feel this, it's really easy to say we believe things. You guys probably have like words, right, at your school, and you're like, "Respect," and you're like, "Yeah, it's one of our tenets." And then something happens, doesn't it? Because respect is actually, it's easy to be like, "I believe in respect." And it's really difficult to like live it, like if someone's not respectful to you, to be respectful back. Holy smoke, that's difficult, isn't it? So kindness is harder than it looks. I think all these things, kindness and courage and character and forgiveness and all these things are harder than it looks. So the big question, and the reason I'm here, and I want to tell you a few more stories about this, the reason I'm here is to talk about this huge thing. Let's see if this clicker works. Oh, yeah, it worked. But it's not quote kindness, right? I feel like you get it. You can't be high school. I'm not here like rapping about respect and be like, "Hey, it's worth it. Smile." Like, we get it. I think everyone here knows kindness is important, respect is important. I think everyone here, maybe you've started even thinking of what the best version of yourself looks like. Then I think the question is, what gets in the way? If you and I can state, we know this is important. And then you and I can also maybe admit, I a lot of times maybe don't live up to this. That's okay. That's amazing. You're a human. Welcome to the human experience. Then let's ask this question. What gets in the way? I want to tell you a little bit about my friend Raina. My friend Raina is great. She walks dogs for a living. She started a dog walking company. Isn't that amazing? Guys, pursue your dreams. Do whatever. Yeah. Thank you, one person clapping. For like, yeah, you can monetize dog walking. All right. Yeah, that's it. Guys, dog walking, it gets an applause break in Oregon. Noted. Yeah, that's great. She's outside all the time. This is true. I went to I went to the rental car place here, and I was like, hey, I just need a rental car, whatever's the cheapest. And they go, we have too many Subarus. And I said, of course you do. So I'm in a Subaru. Isn't that great? Four of you like that. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, four people. So anyway, I'm with my friend Raina. You'd love her. She walks dogs for a living. And then, yes. So Raina, she walks dogs for a living. At this point, I mean, this feels good. We don't even need to get to anything else. Got 45 minutes. So I'm with Raina. This time, please don't clap. I'm with Raina, and there's dogs everywhere. And she, yes, should know, please don't, in high school transits, to do it 100%. And she says this really, this huge thing, you guys, and this thing changed like the way I think about things. She goes, hey, Esteban, I know you're talking about like kindness and nice and you make these shows and whatever. And she goes, I think I'm really nice. This is what she said, and I was like, all right, show off. Hey, I think I'm really nice. She paused and she goes, I think I'm really nice. I don't think I'm often kind. Have you thought about this difference? Nice versus kind? I think I'm really nice. I don't think I'm kind very often. I think I'm really nice. Here she's saying, and I love this, that nice is easy, isn't it? Nice is like, hey, how are you? Good, how are you? That's nice. Nice is like if someone drops their books, yeah, here. That's nice. And kind feels harder, doesn't it? Kind feels like approaching someone and helping them even if they haven't dropped their books. Kind is saying, hey, how are you, to the person who maybe isn't that like nice to you, right? The way I was thinking about it is that nice is reactive and kind is proactive. Have you thought about it? So nice is react. Nice is, if someone's nice to me, I'm nice to you. If someone's nice to me, I'm nice to you. If I'm feeling good, I'll do good. You know what I mean? I've got a younger sibling, his name's Sebastian. If I've got a ton of free time, I'll hang out with Sebastian. And kind is different. Kind is what happens, and maybe you can think about this, what happens when you have like a club meeting and you had jazz band practice and you have homework and then you're sort of in like a weird tiff with your friends and your younger sibling is like, hang out with me. That's different. In that moment, in the moment where Sebastian is pulling my leg, asking to hang out and I feel overwhelmed and stressed and I don't yell at him, I feel like that's kind of right, nice and kind of, this thought of reactive and proactive. Raina's also the best, you guys would love her. She is really good at compliments. She's really good at compliments. I don't know if you've ever like gotten a compliment at the right time and you're like, thank you. Thank you so much, you see me. Remember Avatar, you're like, you see me, thank you. Raina does that all the time. She's so good at compliments. I asked her why. I said, Raina, why are you so good at compliments? Do you know what she said? It was honestly frustratingly simple. I got frustrated, it was so simple. Hey Raina, why are you so good at compliments? She goes, I don't know, I guess I just try to give out a lot of compliments. I'm like, practice. The answer is practice. Isn't that frustrating? I have a friend who plays really good piano, and I like want there to be a secret. Like, I'm like, how did you get so good at piano? He's like, I guess I practiced. And I'm like, that's boring. Practice? You weren't just born with a piano gene? Raina wasn't just born with the ability to give compliments, she practiced it? That's interesting. That's interesting to me because that means that maybe things like compliments or listening or forgiveness are actual skills that we can get better at, like piano or soccer. That means that if you and I practice compliments, we can get better at compliments? That's crazy to me. So crazy to me, I think it's something that we should actually put to use, right? I think if we think about being proactively kind, if we think about the art of the compliment, how cool is that? Do you guys see that? If you're sleeping, you're missing out on some pretty high-tech stuff. Here we go, boom. Yeah, stay awake, Candy. Here we go, that's a third one. I think if we think about compliments, something so simple, and we go, can we get better at them? I think we can. So here's what we're gonna do. Person next to you, give him a high five. Person next to you. Make sure you got it. Perfect, perfect. All right. So here's what's gonna happen. Love it. Here's what's gonna happen. We're gonna go through three or four really, really quick activities. So to move from activity to activity, since there's gonna be chatting and all that stuff like that, to move from activity to activity, let's do this. Every time I say cool, you'll say quip. Cool. Perfect, okay, ready? So chat for like 3 seconds, like pretend we're doing an activity and then we'll move on, go. Hey everyone, cool. Perfect, here's the next thing. All right, hey, we're gonna get started. So the partner you just high-fived, ladies and gentlemen, everyone in the room, welcome to the first inaugural Slow Smile Off. Here's what's gonna happen with your partner that you just high-fived. You're gonna look at them, and the goal is, hey, hang tight so you can hear the instructions. It sounds simple, but it's incredibly complex. The goal is you're gonna slow smile with them, okay? The rules are your mouth has to be moving. And here's a tip, try to show one tooth at a time. So you're gonna look at your partner's slow smile. Ready, 3, 2, 1. Yes, you can be in groups of three. There we go, slow smiles.
You've been practicing.
Yes.
Oh, that's great.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right, cool. All right, here's the next thing. We're just warming up. The next thing you're gonna do is a fast smile off. Here's what this looks like. I'm gonna count down for 10 seconds. You're gonna see how many times you can smile. Keep track, it's one-on-one, right? Or if you're in a group, two-on-one, you're smiling. It's gonna be intense, like you'll be like, it's gonna be intense. All right, Candy, are you ready? Fast smile off. 3, 2, 1, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Cool! Amazing, amazing. So here it is. Here's what's gonna happen next. We're gonna actually practice compliments. Okay, so before you start getting nervous. All right. So before you start getting nervous, we've got a template for you, okay? So you're gonna go to the partner you were just with, and you can fill it in. Hey, your article of clothing looks blank today. You're more stylish than a blank wearing a blank. If this is weird or awkward, we're learning compliments. It's tough to get better at things. Let's do it. Love it.
Hey, your jacket looks great. It's a today. You are more stylish.
You love it.
I am wearing leopard skin.
Right, 5 more seconds. 4, 3, 2, 1. Cool. All right, cool. All right, here we go. So this is a pretty good compliment. But I want to be honest with you. I don't think this is like a random level comment, right? If someone says this to you, you're like, cool, thanks. It seems we can go deeper. If we're working out with compliments, right? We're trying to get better. This is a 5-pound weight. We can do this. It's easy. So let's think about what a 30-pound weight looks like. 5 pounds, 30 pounds. This is a 30-pound compliment. And let me walk through what it is. Your smile reminds me of something bright. It lights up the entire type of space. So smile feels different. Like if someone compliments my clothes, they can be. We're not doing this yet. I assume everyone is complimenting. Hey, I want to walk through, because I want to do more partner activities. But we have to sort of get there together, you know what I mean? Hey, welcome back. Okay, so before we do this, right, this thought of, the whole reason we're doing this is to think about, can we get better at compliments? Right, so if this compliment is a 5-pound weight, this one means a little bit more because I think smile is different than clothes, right? So we can sort of break down the sort of a compliment of if someone comments on my shirt, I'm like, whatever, I can change my shirt. But if someone says something about my smile or my eyes or my personality, that's really, really beautiful. And then there's also something beautiful of like, when you do something, I feel great. When you grin, when you smile, I wanna dance. Right, so there's something interesting about making compliments a little bit more specific. And then there's something interesting about breaking down things like listening or forgiveness into these things, into these skills that we can get better at. Okay, so now when you're ready, if you want to compliment your partner, let's do it. Yes. I want to tell you a bit more about my mom. My mom, one of the things that she does, that we do as a family is we eat out of a lot of mugs. Anyone do that? Anyone have like soup from a mug? We've had full meals from mugs. There's like chicken and rice and veggies. I'm like, Mom, you know plates exist. You know what I mean? No one's hiding plates from you. She's like, I'm gonna stick to the mug. So my mom loves mugs. And then she started collecting a mug like this. I don't know if you can see because the light a little bit, but that's a mug and it says happiness is homemade. This is a real mug we have. My mom bought it at a gas station. You know, where you get the best merchandise. Where you're like, where should I do birthday shopping? Oh, I'll head to Alamo. I'm gonna head to the Shell for your anniversary, babe. So she got this at a gas station. It's so funny, my mom's like she's wonderful, but she doesn't laugh that much, and I was a teacher. I actually taught high school, like your teachers, and I was doing stand-up comedy at night, and then I got these fun opportunities. I got to tour with like Colin Jost from SNL and these people. So my mom would come to these shows and see like me and other people who were the best comedians alive, and she'd be in the front row and like crack a smile. She'd be like, oh. Remember one time she was walking to the bathroom with Colin Jost, and they make eye contact, and my mom goes, pretty good? I'm like, you know, just pretend you're happy. She doesn't laugh too much. She picked up this mug, you guys. Happiness is homemade at this Alamo gas station. Picks it up and is like, is that happiness is homemade? I'm like, it really is. This is bringing you joy. This $3 mug from a gas station is your prized possession. She likes these mugs so much, we put up a shelf in my kitchen with cheesy mugs. There's one that says happiness is homemade. There's one that says like live, laugh, love. There's one that says like love, louder. It's like a really cheesy tumbler with like cheesy quotes. And my mom looks at them and is like, yes, I will dance like nobody is watching. So one day I was actually a sophomore in high school, and it was the maddest. I was so frustrated. You guys, I was so angry, and I don't know why I was angry, which is kind of funny. That years after, I don't know why I was angry, but I was so angry. I was in my kitchen, and I'm upset. I think I didn't feel seen or heard. I think that's when, for me, I feel the worst. I don't know about you. So I'm so angry, and my tears are like welling up like they did when I was younger. I'm just like, ugh. And a few days before, we watch a lot of movies. I've seen this movie where Russell Crowe gets angry and punches a wall. So I'm angry and I go, oh, I know what to do. Which, don't do this. So I'm angry and I'm like, Russell Crowe, punch the wall. I'm gonna punch a wall. So I start to like punch the wall, and I have three thoughts. Number one is like, I'm not someone who like punches things, so I think I'm doing it wrong. I'm like, that's not how you punch. Is it open? Is it closer? The second thought, and I remember this one more, is I'm going to punch this wall, and I'm thinking, I don't want to do this, and I'm literally saying out loud, I don't want to do this. I don't know if you ever felt like, I don't want to do the thing I'm currently doing and will probably do again. So I'm like, I don't want to do this. I remember literally yelling, I don't want to do this. But the third thing I remember thinking is, oh no, because I realized it's the wall where my mom keeps her mugs. I'm like, oh. Man, I think about that moment a lot, because again, if you asked me, I want to be good to my mom. I want to be a good son. And then, but I have these moments where I just get so frustrated. Sometimes, I don't know about you, but I feel like there's two Estebans. I feel like there's two versions of me. There's a version of me that punches walls, and then there's a version of me who's like, you just take a deep breath and everything's fine. Right, and sometimes this gap between who we are in moments where we're frustrated and who we want to be feels so far that I can't even, have you ever like been sad and you're like, I can't even imagine happiness. And then you're happy and you're like, I can't even imagine what it's like to be sad. Isn't that frustrating about the human experience? That when we're frustrated, I'm like, I don't even know who that person is. And then when I'm here, I'm like, I cannot even empathize with an Esteban who punches walls. Look at me. What, me? Me? I wouldn't punch a wall. Like, it's so interesting. I was, a few weeks ago, I was with my friend Andrew. Andrew's great, he's a really good athlete. And we were driving from San Diego to LA. It's usually like a 2-hour drive. This drive took 7 hours. I don't know if you've been in a car, like in a road trip, hour one, you're like, oh, road trip. an hour six in traffic, you're like, why has God punished me? What? Does he know who I am? Oh no. Just sitting there. I'm sitting there and I'm so frustrated. Candy, I am the most, like, I wanna punch something. And then I see my friend Andrew go like this. He goes like this. Do you wanna do this with, it's thumb to pinky. He goes like this, like turning something down. And then up, if you can turn something up, turn something down. I see my friend Andrew go like this, like he's turning something down. And I go, hey man, what are you doing? My friend Andrew goes, sometimes when I'm really frustrated, I remember that I can actually sort of like turn down the negative emotions and act differently. Isn't that nuts? He has this tool. Sometimes when I'm frustrated, I remember, this is a tool to remind myself that I can actually turn down negative emotions and act differently. Andrew's a really good athlete. He was saying that sometimes before big games, he'd literally turn up. Not like turn up, but like turn up. You know what I mean? And he'd be like, sometimes stress is good, right? Sometimes before a big game, you want a little more energy. But usually, he says, usually I turn it down. There's this fascinating thought that he has, I think I'm still trying to figure out, of like, you can feel things and act differently. This is an insane thing, right? Because to me, nice is if I feel good, I do good. Kind is no matter what I feel, I can be good to others. I'm not hurting myself or others. So we can feel feelings and act differently. I think that's so cool. But Andrew has this tool. He literally is like, when I feel a lot of these, whew, and I try to act differently. It's funny because I travel and I feel like first I'm a writer and then I'm the speaker, and sometimes people will be like, hey, today we've got a motivational speaker. And I'm like, I feel like a lot of what I talk about isn't motivational. Like, here is one of the truths that I want to tell you, right? I think this is a capital T truth, that you are, and this is 100% true, going to be in frustrating traffic at one point in your life. Right? That's it. You are gonna want to punch a wall, and you are gonna be the new kid or the new person somewhere in your life. You're gonna feel these feelings. That's the truth. It's not when, it's not like, what if I don't feel stress? No, that's baloney. You're gonna feel stress. Life is amazing, and life is beautiful, and life is worth it, but there's ups and downs, and you're gonna be in traffic. So how do we act knowing that this is true? Knowing you and I've already punched the wall. I know I'm gonna be that angry again. Knowing you and I are gonna have downs, how can we act differently? I want to tell you a little bit about, actually, no, I want to finish this story. So, I'm about to punch this wall. I go in, I punch the wall, and mugs come crashing down. Including this one, happiness is homemade, so is heartbreak. That mug doesn't sell as well. So I'm sitting there, I'm literally here, and I'm like crying. I'm like, I didn't want to do that. And my mom, you know how terrifying my mom is, looks over and she goes, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. And my first thought is, this is great. She thinks they did it. This is amazing. Not even top three suspects at this point. But they went that way. But my mom walks over, and I think in the walkover, maybe she does her own version of this, because she is livid, walks over, and like her negative feelings are kind of gone, or they've shifted, or they've evolved. She gets down at my level, and she goes, I never want you to feel that out of control ever again. And I'm like crying, right? And I'm like, me neither. And then my mom goes, well, what are you gonna do about it? And I'm like, oh, shucks. I don't know. At the same time, there was something really cool happening. My dad, is a mechanic. That's him. He's a stick figure. My dad is a mechanic and he works on cars. We have these two cars. They're like 30 years old. They're very old cars. They break down always growing up. And my dad never fixed them. He's a big tomorrow guy. Do you know anyone who's like a tomorrow person? Yeah, I'm gonna start that new workout tomorrow. The project, due Monday, I'll start it tomorrow. And you're like, Jeremy, it's Sunday. Yeah, I'll do it tomorrow. Yeah, I can do that project tomorrow. I'll start getting ready for that musical audition tomorrow. I'm about to do it. My dad's a really big tomorrow guy. My dad also really likes sleep. He's a big naps person. My dad loves naps. My dad doesn't speak very much. My mom speaks enough for both of them. He says like 7 sentences a month. It's pretty good. So my dad's a mechanic and these cars would always break down. We had these two cars. He was a big tomorrow guy. He's gonna fix them tomorrow. I literally, during high school, we had two cars and I always asked for a ride because my dad never fixed the cars. I was kind of embarrassed. I was like, we have them. My dad is just gonna get them tomorrow. So one day I remember my dad was like, something happened. And he started waking up early. And he asked us to hold him accountable. And this is amazing. My dad was like, I'm gonna wake up early and I'm gonna work on the cars before I go to work. He's a mechanic, so he's doing like work. He's mechanicking our cars before he goes and is a mechanic. I remember this was happening around the time that I punched the wall. And I went to my dad one day and I was like, Dad, it's so cool that, like, I was trying to be encouraging. Like, he was like, hold me accountable. I said, Dad, it's really great that you're working on the cars. My dad, man of few words, thinks about them a lot, and he goes, yeah, Esteban, it's bigger than the cars. And he just leaves. It's bigger than the cars. Man, I think about that, the time that I like sit down and try to like learn guitar and it's frustrating and I stick with it. It's bigger than guitar, right? The time that like I play with my brother Sebastian when I'm exhausted and would rather nap because my dad is napping, so I've got Sebastian. And this, right, it's bigger than being like an older brother for 30 minutes. It's bigger than, I think it's that recognition that sometimes there's this gap between who we are and who we want to be, and what happens when we sort of decide to do something about it, like my mom said. So I'm super thankful. I get to work in Hollywood. I watched a ton of movies growing up. It's like really where I learned English, all this different stuff. And Hollywood loves an epiphany. Snap if you know what an epiphany is. Do you know what an epiphany is? We talked about this maybe in writing, things like that. If you don't know what an epiphany is, no worries, here's what an epiphany is. It's like those moments where like, whoa, now everything is different and I'll totally change without the work. A lot of times there's like a superhero movie, there's a cheesy superhero movie and the superhero like chases the villain all day and then like with 7 minutes left in the movie, the superhero is like, hey villain, you can change. And the villain's like, good point. And then leaves a life of crime and moves to Connecticut. Like, what? You know what I mean? Hey, you can actually be someone else. And the person's like, really, right now? With no work? And the superhero's like, yes. And the villain's like, great. And then they both live happily ever after. Here's the thing, the reason we do this, I've written some epiphany moments. The reasons we do this is because we have to like tell a story in 90 minutes. Guys, I grew up obsessed with Hollywood. I punched a wall because Russell Crowe told me it was cool. Personally, not really, in a movie I watched. And here, I think one of the big things that I want to talk about today is like, don't believe an epiphany. I think I grew up really wanting an epiphany. I grew up like really jealous of like, the fact that Peter Parker got bit by a spider and then got like super buff. I was just going around looking for spiders. I'm like, maybe I will never have to work out. This is my hack. Because I don't think that's how life works. In fact, I think that the real movie, the real story of doing work is not sexy and is not on screen. It's waking up at 6 a.m. as a 55-year-old man because you've procrastinated your whole life. And you know that your family is embarrassed of your procrastination, and you wake up at 6 a.m. to work on the car for an hour. And you do this for a month. And you ask your children to hold you accountable. The people that you should be their accountability partner. Right? I don't think real work is sexy. I think my dad is amazing, and my dad is a hero. And at 55, he said, you know what? I don't think I'm going to go walking and things are going to change. I don't think I'm going to run into Shazam soon. I think if I want to do the work, I need to do the work. I love that. What happens if you and I think about what we've talked about, right? So kindness is really great. Kindness is awesome. Being the best people we can. Holy smokes, that makes life amazing. That makes life meaningful. Two, kindness is harder than it looks. Kindness is harder than it looks. We fall short. Number three, good news, Candy. Kindness is a skill that we can get better at, like piano or soccer. So it's a skill that we can get better at, right? Nice and kind are different. Kind is proactive. We can be proactive if it's a skill we can get better at, and if you and I aren't just going to wake up and be really good older siblings. That means it's a skill we can get better at. We can feel feelings and act differently, and that's something you and I can get better at. Holy smokes, that's freeing. By the way, I'm still working on this. But that's like a crazy, I'm still wrapping my head around that crazy concept. So it's, actually, yeah, let's do this. So high five the person next to you again. Perfect. What you're gonna do, and because I don't wanna be, I'm like sharing some of my experience. I don't wanna be the only one doing that. I want you to share some of your experience. So what you're gonna do is this game called Together We Know. You're gonna go back and forth with a partner, and you're gonna come up with a really wise saying. So you're gonna go back and forth, and when you feel magic happen, you're gonna go, Okay, so this is Andrew. Andrew and I are gonna practice. Ready? So it's gonna look like this. You're gonna wanna hear this. Okay, so it's we're gonna go word for word. So I'll say compassion
is
the
answer
to
life.
Yeah. Take that home with you, make that a bumper sticker. All right, so you're gonna do this with a partner. You've got 30 seconds. Try to come up with something wise. Back and forth, word. I love it.
Hope.
And once you find something, you're love it.
2, 10 seconds.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right, wrap up convos. Together we know, yes. So it's my freshman year in high school. It's my freshman year in high school, and Camilo and I, do you remember Camilo? Camilo, Colombian BFF?
Yeah.
Camilo and I are in a group together. We literally have not spoken, right? We were friends. We literally have not spoken since we were like 8. He stayed in ESL for a bit. I was out, I tried to be different people I wasn't until I was like, I'm gonna try to be myself and see how that works out. Pretty well, most of the time. So Camille and I, we're not in a project by choice. Our teacher goes like, okay, you two. And she's like, okay, go, come back, work on this. It's freshman year. So Camille and I go to the library. We're in the library, we sit down. It's literally him and I in the project. And I go, hey man, it's good to see you. And I go, hey, listen, I don't know if you remember, but it was like a long time ago, but I feel like I wasn't very good to you. And yeah, so anyways, I'm still working on asking for help and vulnerability at this point. Camilo looks at me and he's like, yeah, I remember. And I'm like, oh, good. Good memory, man, that's awesome. That'll be helpful in your life. He goes, I remember, and dude, that's fun. I know that's not who you are. That's not who you were then. That's not who you are now. All good, man. Don't worry about it. Isn't that amazing? His just like willingness to be that like forgiving. I know that's not who you are. Don't worry about it. I love that for a few reasons. One, he's so forgiving. Like he just is like, yeah, whatever. And I love that he says, that's not who you are. Remember I was saying, and I don't know if you feel this, but I was saying that sometimes I feel like there's two different versions of me, right? There's the version now, and there's the best version of myself, the version I want to be, and sometimes it just feels like there's two of me. There's the me who punches walls, and there's the me who calms myself down. And I feel like there's two versions of that. Man, I think it is such a gift to have people in your life say, that's not who you are. You know who you are? You were designed, you were made, you were designed to be the best version of yourself. That's who you are. I think that's such a gift. My dad, at this point, he's been waking up every month or every day for a month to work on the cars. The cars work great, then they break down. They're really old cars, and my dad starts to work on the cars again. And I go, Dad, do you want to work on the cars? What's happening? He wakes up early, he's getting better at all of these things. Do you want to work on the cars? And my dad writes 7 sentences or so a month. So he chooses them wisely. I ask if you want to work on the cars, and my dad says this. He goes, if I work on the cars when I want to work on the cars, they will never get fixed. If I work on the cars when I want to work on the cars, it'll never get fixed. Isn't that amazing? I think I'm inspired by my dad not believing in epiphanies, right? I think I'm inspired by my dad saying, it's work. If you're a procrastinator, to not be a procrastinator is work. It's daily work. It doesn't just happen, and you can't just be inspired. I'm gonna be kinder, yeah. I'm gonna do that now, and then that's it. I think it's daily. If you wanna be a better older sibling, that was really important to me. It's work, it's this skill. It's like learning piano or soccer. It's a skill, and it requires work. I'm so excited. You have so many amazing activities today. You got these super awesome things, and my hope for it is that you don't just think about these topics during the week, right? Like it's like Peace Week and you're talking about all these different things. I hope that you're not just being like, okay, let me think about this today. Because I think these are the skills that matter. I think if you look around the world, if you ask anyone who's lived a remarkable life, I think they'll talk about kindness. Kindness makes the world and people better. I think if you ask them to dig into that, they'll tell you the truth. But kindness, well, is harder than it looks. But I think if we, one, recognize that kindness is harder than it looks, two, recognize kindness is a skill, three, recognize it's a skill we can grow like any skill, be proactive about that, refuse, tell Hollywood to keep their fake epiphanies over here and recognize that it's actually day-to-day, it's actual work. Man, I think that's remarkable, and I think that's how we can make kindness normal. I'm so excited to be here. I'm so excited about everything you're doing. Thanks so much for listening and being a wonderful audience. Yeah, thank you for the life.